One where everyone else sees Jonah in one way and I see the truth? Have I done something to make you not like me? I finally blurt out. He chuckles darkly.
No, I just know your kind and I've never had much patience for it.
My kind?
Yup.
He slams shut the gate of his SUV and turns to settle a stony gaze on me, his muscular arms folded over his chest.
The shallow, self-absorbed, entitled kind.
My mouth hangs open for three beats. You don't know anything about me.
Really?
He bites his bottom lip in thought.
Let's see. You show up in Anchorage with an entire closet's worth of clothes for a one-week visit, expecting what? A private jet to bring you the rest of the way? And looking like you mistook the airstrip for a fucking runway in Milan.
I push aside the shock that he knows a thing about the fashion industry to defend myself. I had to pack for this moody weather.
Were you going for a jog or to a nightclub this morning with all that makeup on? I'd bet my left nut that no one's seen your real face in years. You spend all your money on looking pretty and all your time posting pictures to prove to complete strangers how pretty you are.
My spine begins to tingle. Is he talking about my Instagram profile? How could he know about that? And, oh my God, did he just make a reference to his balls? So, some people take pride in their appearance. I give him a pointed look, even as my cheeks burn from being picked apart. He goes on as if I hadn't spoken.
You're dramatic, entitled, and judgmental. You like attention, and you're used to getting it. You don't know much about the world outside your little bubble. You didn't even bother educating yourself a little about where your dad's from, where you were born.
It's not like I had much time.
You're 26 years old and you've never had time.
His eyebrow arches in that doubtful way.
You decided you weren't gonna like Alaska before your toes ever touched the soil, and you've had your nose turned up to everyone and everything ever since.
I have not!
Agnes figured you might have a hard time up here, but you could at least try for a damn week. You haven't seen your father in basically your entire life. And when you finally show up here, you're pissed that the fridge isn't full for you. You probably haven't even considered how tough things have been on Ren, or how he might not know how to talk to you after this long.
He drops his voice.
Or what he's going through right now. But no, you're more focused on getting your fucking soy latte and what hostess gift you should bring to dinner tonight.
He smiles smugly.
How am I doing so far? Do I have you all wrong?
Completely, I counter with a wavering voice, unable to manage more in my current state of shock. I'm used to Simon, to his gently probing questions, his thoughtful pauses as he quietly evaluates the real meaning behind my words, the way he tries to help me see myself for who I am. It's his nature, given his profession. There have been times that it's annoyed me, when I've screamed at him to stop psychoanalyzing me, but he's never done it in a vindictive, disparaging way. And then here comes this guy, who I met 12 hours ago, making all kinds of unfounded assumptions and picking me apart as if there's no real substance to me at all. The cold amusement fades from his eyes, leaving something that looks almost sad.
I wish I was wrong, because then maybe you'd get over yourself, cut Ren some slack, and use the time you have to get to know him.
You don't even know what happened between us, I mutter. I can't just forgive and forget and give him a big hug.
No one expects you to, but if you're smart, you'll be willing to try and salvage even a shred of what you used to have, for your own sake.
Jonah glances at his wrist to check the time again. I have yet to see him slide a phone out of his pocket, and then rounds the truck and climbs into the driver's side, leaving me standing there, feeling rebuked, and I'm not even entirely sure for what. Several shoppers linger nearby, having witnessed my humiliating and raw dissection. The SUV's engine roars to life, and a moment later there's a holler of,
"Come on, we're not all on vacation around here."
"Yeah, Bobby. He's charming the panties off me, all right." I'd rather walk 5 miles, wearing nothing but a million mosquitoes, than sit next to Jonah right now. There's a cab parked a few spots over, The driver, a man with shaggy black hair and a bored expression, lounges in the driver's seat with his window rolled down, casually puffing on a cigarette, watching the spectacle. I wave my hand, still gripping the bouquet of overripe daisies at him. Are you available? He dips his head once, yes, and then takes a long drag. Are cabbies allowed to smoke in their cars around here? Holding my head high, I won't give Jonah the satisfaction of knowing his words cut me. I stroll over to the taxi and climb in the back seat, trying my best to ignore the waft of tobacco smoke that lingers. An engine revs, and I glance over to meet Jonah's cold gaze, glaring at me through his windshield. We stay locked like that for 3, 4, 5 seconds before he peels off, his wheels kicking up dust clouds and stones as he leaves the parking lot. Good riddance.
Where to?
The cab driver asks, his dark eyes peering at me through the rearview mirror. Crap. How do I get back to my dad's again? Where did Jonah turn? Was it before or after that sketchy coffee shop? Do you know where Ren Fletcher lives? He shakes his head, and for a moment I panic. I'm about to tell him to take me to the airport, but then I remember that I have my dad's address in an email from Agnes. I quickly find it and read it out loud for the man, and then sink into the cracked, tobacco-scented leather with a sigh of relief. I don't need Jonah at all. How much for the scenic way there? Chapter 8. I still can't believe you have 6 kids, I murmur.
7 come December.
Michael chuckles as he turns into my dad's driveway.
I told you, I was 18 when my oldest was born.
Still. He grins mischievously, flashing nicotine-tinged teeth and a slight overbite.
What can I say? I'm lucky my wife likes babies.
I can't recall the last time I offered more than a polite hello and nod when seated in a cab or Uber, intent on getting to my destination, my attention glued to my phone. And, truth be told, if I had a phone to use, and if I wasn't trying to avoid Jonah, I probably wouldn't even know this guy's name. But 45 minutes after climbing into his taxi, I'm more familiar with Michael than anyone else in the entire state of Alaska. Michael is only 3 years older than me, which is mind-boggling. He mostly lives with his brother, and the two of them run a thriving cab company in Bangor together. Meanwhile, his wife and kids live up the river in a village of about 300 with his parents and her sister. His wife wants nothing to do with Bangor and this way of life. She claims it's too loud and busy. Ironically, she must not think that having 7 children is too loud and busy, because she's been popping them out like a Pez dispenser. Michael gave me a tour around Bangor, stopping by a lively riverfront teeming with villager boats and a landmark church, the first structure ever to be built in the town. He even agreed to play cameraman and took a few posed pictures of me while we were there, and the results aren't half bad. You must miss your kids a lot. He shrugs.
I see them when I go back.
And how often is that?
Depends on the season. It gets harder when we're waiting for the river to freeze over or thaw. Can't take the boat through, and it's not safe to drive. Sometimes I have to wait weeks.
His voice has an easy, unhurried way about it, much like Agnes's does. Must be hard. But what's it like compared with not seeing your child for 24 years, I wonder?
I can provide for my family better this way. Here.
He passes a business card over the seat to me.
Call me anytime you need a ride. I'm always working, even when I'm sleeping.
Cool. Thanks. I frown at the name. Wait, I thought your name was Michael.
Michael is my Gusuk name.
Your what name? He chuckles.
My Gusuk name. Gusuk is what we call white people.
Oh, but this is your real name? This. I frown at the spelling, sounding it out cautiously. Yakulpak?
Yagushbuk.
He corrects, emphasizing each syllable. Yagushbuk, I repeat slowly. Coming from a city as diverse as Toronto, it's not the first time I've struggled with and butchered a name. So, not at all how it's spelled then?
Not for a Gusuk.
He grins.
Stick with Michael.
Sounds good. Scooping up the bouquet of flowers, I hand him the $30 we agreed on, plus a tip he more than earned. Thanks for being my tour guide. I slide out of the back of the car, noting with relief that Jonah's escape is nowhere to be seen.
No problem,
Michael says with a wave, his brakes squeaking as his car begins to roll away. He didn't ask about that scene with Jonah in the Myers parking lot, for which I'm glad. The moment I step through the door and into my dad's eerily quiet, dark house, my phone picks up the Wi-Fi connection and begins chirping with a string of text messages and voicemails from my mom and Diana. I sigh, knowing I can't avoid calling home much longer. Right after I eat. Two paper bags lie on the counter, empty and folded. When I open the fridge, I find to my surprise that my groceries have been tucked away, lined up much too neatly for a man who was chucking vegetables on the checkout belt only an hour ago. And here I was expecting my salad supplies to be strewn across the front lawn. Maybe this is Jonah's way of apologizing for being a complete asshole. Well, that's something, I guess, I murmur. But it's going to take a hell of a lot more than this for me to forgive him.
You're virtually strangers, Calla.
Simon pauses to take a sip of his afternoon tea, in his favorite Wedgwood China cup, no doubt. The guy is so predictable, before I hear him set it down on his metal office desk.
It's going to take time for both of you to get comfortable and figure each other out.
The kitchen chair creaks as I lean forward to sop up the last of the egg yolk with a piece of toast and shove it into my mouth. I'm only here for a week. Can I even begin to understand my father in that time?
That's a self-imposed deadline. You can push your return flight and stay longer. That's why we paid more for this ticket, so you have options.
I thought it was so I had the option of flying back earlier if this trip was a disaster. Of course Simon would see it another way. With how things are going right now, a week already feels like a death sentence.
You knew this wasn't going to be easy.
Yeah, well, it's going to be impossible if he runs every time I come into the room.
Is he running? Or are you chasing him away?
I frown. What do you mean?
You're holding on to a lot of resentment, Calla. Years of it, that you've used to shield your pain. You don't hide it well, and Ren isn't the type to confront it. If you two are going to reconnect, and in such a short amount of time, you need to find a way to communicate. Even if it's around the proverbial elephant, at least for the time being.
I'm trying, but it's hard. How do you form a relationship with someone without forgiving them first?
Just remember, you can't control him, but you can control how you act toward him.
I groan inwardly. Why do Simon's soft words seem to carry the same message as the blunt force trauma version that Jonah delivered earlier?
Has Ren mentioned anything about the prognosis or treatment options? Anything at all?
Mom interrupts, her voice sounding distant over the speakerphone. She's pacing around his office. I swear it's one of her favorite pastimes. Simon complains that she's worn a circular track in his grandmother's Persian rug. We talked for like 2 minutes last night, Mom, I remind her. But Agnes said he's going to Anchorage next week to start chemo and radiation, and he doesn't look sick at all.
That's good. They must have caught it early.
There's no mistaking the relief in my mom's voice. Simon must notice it too. How does that make him feel? Oh my God, I'm starting to sound like my British shrink stepfather. A bell dings, signaling that the door to Simon's practice was just opened.
That's my next patient. Call me tonight if you'd like to discuss this further.
Thanks, Simon.
But not between 10 and 11 p.m. my time, if you can help it. There's a BBC documentary on...
I tune him out, my mind straying to thoughts of how I'm going to fill the rest of my day, waiting for dinner at Agnes's. I could head over to Alaska Wild to get a better look at the planes and people who my father prioritized over his own daughter, but then I'd be risking another uncomfortable 2-minute conversation with him. And worse, a run-in with Jonah. Thank God I brought my computer.
Don't hang up, Calla,
my mom calls out. There's a flurry of muffled sounds and clicks, and then her soft and melodic voice is in my ear as she leaves Simon's office with a receiver. Hey, did you get the pictures I sent? They should have come through by now. Let me see. Yes, here they are. Oh my God, is that what you flew to Bangor in? I almost puked. But you can't even fit luggage in there, which is why all my things are on a cargo flight from Anchorage today. Why on earth would they come to get you in that? Because Jonah is a jackass and he pretty much hates that I'm breathing his precious Alaskan air. I fill her in on the day's events, Jonah related, earning numerous gasps and groans. But you have a dairy allergy. That's not being high maintenance. That's a legitimate medical condition, she snaps. Right? I sink into a creaky kitchen chair, feeling vindicated. Finally, someone else is reasonably annoyed with Jonah's antics. I can always count on my mother for that. He's the biggest asshole I've ever met. Why does Ren keep him around? Because I'm in the upside down where everyone likes him. I roll my eyes even though she can't see it. Just avoid him. I don't want him making your time there harder than it already is. I'm trying to, but it feels like every time I round a corner, that bushy face is there. And he lives next door. I can't get away from him. I'm sorry, honey. Whatever. I release a heavy sigh. I don't want to talk about Jonah anymore. I don't blame you. What else did you send me? There's a pause as she scrolls through the pictures. Is this lettuce? I can almost hear her frown. Yeah, literally hundreds of heads of lettuce, maybe more. There are farm fields down the road. Huh, I guess some things have changed in 24 years. Not everything. I grin, waiting for her to scroll to the next picture. She gasps. The ducks are still there, in all their tacky glory. Her mortified laugh sings out. They're as ugly as I remember them being. My gaze wanders over the busy wallpaper. She gasps again, more softly, and I know she's scrolled on to the next picture, the one of the calla lilies in my bedroom. How did I forget about those? You know, I stayed up every night for weeks painting every last petal, all fat and swollen, trying to get them done before you were born. Yeah, I remember you telling me. Gosh, that was a lifetime ago, wasn't it? She murmurs wistfully. There's a long pause, as she no doubt drifts back to her time here. So, what are your plans for the rest of the day? Besides scratching all my mosquito bites, I mutter, my nails raking at the back of my calf where a red bump is beginning to flare and itch. I may as well set up a bunch of posts for the site. Diana woke up with new ideas. I've had at least 10 texts from her today. Diana always wakes up with new ideas. I wish I had that girl's energy. Oh, the time escaped me. I've got to get to the shop to finish up a few things. You wouldn't believe this woman that came in this morning. She was insisting on having baby's breath in her bouquet, even after I told her that I don't work with it because it cheapens the look of the arrangement. She had the nerve to... I lose track of my mom's little tirade as something odd on the wallpaper catches my eye. I feel my face twist up. Do ducks have nipples? There's a pause. Sorry, what? I lean forward to take note of the 6 distinctive dots perfectly spaced out on the underbelly of the duck. There are slight variations in dot size and spacing, though, which tells me that someone's done this by hand with a black marker. To every last duck on this wall. Did you do this? Calla, what on earth are you talking about? By the time I'm done explaining, we're both howling with laughter. It would have taken hours. There are like hundreds of ducks on this wall alone. Well, it wasn't me, but I wish it had been. I settle back into my chair in awe. Maybe Agnes did it. I don't think she likes the ducks much either. Mom's laughter dies down. So, what's going on there? No idea, but whatever it is, It's complicated. We're going over to her house for dinner tonight. She lives across the road.
Good. You'll get more than 2 minutes with him there. Ren was always a slow eater.
To be honest, I'm dreading it right now. How awkward will it be to sit across the table from him? Will he at least attempt polite conversation, or will he completely ignore me? At least Agnes will be there, too, to serve as a soft-spoken buffer.
It'll be fine. Just be yourself. And listen, don't worry about what that jerk pilot said. He doesn't know you at all.
He doesn't. And yet, I haven't been able to shake Jonah's words from my mind. Thanks, Mom. Love you. I set my phone down on the table with a heavy sigh and then crack open my MacBook. Chapter 9. Agnes's driveway is as long as my father's, giving me plenty of time to study the little white rectangular house ahead of me as I approach. My sweater pulled over my head to protect my hair from the gloomy drizzle that's been falling all afternoon. It's a mirror image of my father's house, save for the baby blue siding and the front door painted a deep crimson that delivers a much-needed punch of color. She doesn't have the additional garage, but there is a small shed on the left with a large green garbage can propped against the side. Agnes's truck is parked in front of it. Gripping the sad bouquet of daisies in one hand, I knock on the door. A moment later, I hear Agnes's reedy voice holler, "Just come in." Warmth and the delicious scent of roasted chicken and herbs envelop me as soon as I step inside, and I steal a moment to marvel at how different this house feels from the cold, dark one across the road. For one thing, the kitchen, dining room, and living room are all open concept, filling the length of the house. A short hallway divides two sides of the back, leading to the bedrooms, I presume. For another, it feels like a family home. It's simply furnished in beiges and grays, the furniture bland in style but clean and well-maintained. But where my dad's place is void of character, Agnes has infused small touches of personality everywhere. Rich hues of red and burnt orange color the walls. The couch is adorned with cushions with birds hand-stitched into their fronts. Wooden masks and swirling artwork that must be tied to her native roots hang on the wall, and the entire wall beside the hallway is filled with framed photographs of people, many wearing colorful beaded headdresses and animal pelt coats. Her family members, I presume.
"So? You survived your first day in Alaska well enough?" Agnes asks, her back to me as she inspects a golden chicken sitting in a pan atop the stove,
looking fresh from the oven. "It was touch and go for a while there, but yes," I joke. "I spent most of the day updating links on the website and setting up draft posts for Diana so they're ready for her to add her words. I floated from the duck-infested kitchen to the painfully bland living room to the screened-in porch, which could be comfortable enough if not for the piles of clutter and decrepit vintage-style aluminum lawn chairs, and then finally my bedroom, where I ended up drifting off for an hour. All in all, it was a peaceful yet uneventful afternoon, after a difficult morning."
"I hope you brought your appetite. We'll eat as soon as the guys get here."
"The guys? Which guys?" I ask warily.
"Just Ren and Jonah. They should be here soon. Jonah got stuck up near Nome with the fog, but it was beginning to clear when I left. He figured he'd make it back in time."
"Jonah's coming too?" I struggle to hide my displeasure. Agnes smiles.
"It'll be fine. I promise."
I sigh heavily. Yeah, I'm guessing everything will be fine in Agnes's eyes. Fucking hell, I can't get away from this guy.
"Jonah has worked for your dad for over 10 years now. He's like his right-hand man, does all the risky off-airport landings for the hunters and fishermen, sorts out most of the plane issues, and the customer issues, not that we have that many, helps Ren make the tough decisions. He's a good guy once you see past that hard shell."
She glances over her shoulder at me, her eyebrows arching when she sees the daisies. "Just something to say thanks, for dinner, and everything else you've done." She smiles wistfully.
"I can't remember the last time anyone brought me flowers. It's been a while."
I damn well know Jonah hasn't, but has my father ever? Is he the kind of man who would? Have they ever had the kind of relationship where he should? Do you have a vase that I can put them in?
I think I have a tall jar. I'll have to dig it up. Just leave them on the counter for now.
Setting the bouquet down, I yank my sleeves up and head for the sink to wash my hands. What can I help with? I note that the table has already been set. Agnes peers at the tall pot that sits on a trivet, and then at me, as if considering.
The potatoes need mashing, if you don't mind.
No problem. I can't remember the last time I mashed potatoes. Mom has all but eliminated them from our house. The carbohydrates, devastating to her waistline. But every once in a while, I come into the kitchen late at night after she's gone to bed to find Simon at the table with a bowl of instant mashed and a sheepish look on his face. Where he's ferreted those packets away, I haven't figured out yet.
The masher is over there.
She juts her chin toward a drawer.
And there's milk and butter in the fridge.
Wait, can you have that? Because we can make it without. I smile, appreciating her concern and the fact that she remembered. It's fine. I'll skip the potatoes. I push up my sleeves and set to work. So did my dad say anything about bringing my luggage home today?
No, but I expect him to. The plane should have arrived an hour ago.
Thank God. All my shoes are getting ruined. I found an old scrub brush under the sink today and spent an hour gently brushing the mud from my wedge heels. I'm afraid it was in vain, though. Footfalls stomp up the 6 wooden steps outside then, and a moment later the door flies open. My stomach tightens automatically as I turn, preparing myself to greet one of 2 men, both of whom seem to cause me anxiety for entirely different reasons. Instead, I find a teenaged girl facing me, long, glossy hair the color of espresso, pulled into a messy, off-kilter ponytail, her inky black eyes sparkling with curiosity. Calla, you're here! She kicks off her muddy boots.
I am, I say warily.
She seems to know who I am, and yet I have no idea who she is. I was going to come over last night, but my mom said you were tired. And then I stopped by on my way to the farm, and Jonah said you were still in town. Her mom. My gaze flickers to Agnes, and then to the dining table, where the 4 chairs tricked me into not noticing 5 settings, and then past, to the wall of pictures, to the child's face that graces more of them than I first realized, and it suddenly dawns on me. This is your daughter? Agnes has a child? Did she mention her last night and I missed it, too wrapped up in my own worries? Agnes smiles.
This is Mabel. She's a fireball of energy, just to warn you now.
Mabel's face splits into a wide grin that rivals her mother's. Her face is not as round as Agnes's, I note, but she certainly has the same deeply set, hooded eyes, only larger. So you're from Toronto, right? That's so cool! I want to visit Toronto so bad one day. George has been there, and he said it's amazing. I've creeped, like, your whole Instagram account. You should be a model. You're so pretty. Toronto's great, I agree, taking a moment to process all that just flew from Mabel's mouth. She's definitely not shy, and she talks a mile a minute, in an oddly husky voice for a girl, and with an inflection that's slightly different from her mother's. But most importantly, how does this girl from Western Alaska know my Instagram handle?
There was a link at the bottom of your email, Agnes explains,
likely able to read the confusion on my face.
I was curious, so I clicked on it and found your website. I swear, Mabel scoured every last corner of it.
Ah, right. My automated signature. I completely forgot about that. Now it makes sense. So you took a cab to the river today? Mabel asks.
Yeah.
It takes a moment to connect the dots. I posted a few pictures from earlier and decided to ignore Diana's captioning advice and talk about my day in Bangor, about the friendly cabbie whose name isn't really Michael, with the 6 kids and 1 on the way, and how he uses the river to see them. It just seemed more interesting and way more honest. I posted those maybe an hour ago. But I guess even all the way up here in the middle of nowhere, teenagers are linked to their phones.
Mabel, why don't you go wash up for dinner and then pull out that chair from my room? Agnes begins carving the chicken with expert strokes of her knife, setting the freshly cut meat onto a small white platter. Mabel wanders over and leans in to inspect the chicken as her mother just did. She's taller than Agnes by at least 3 inches and dressed in the same type of department store brand budget jeans. So did I pick a good one? Agnes tugs at the left leg. The meat begins to separate, and clear juices dribble over the golden skin.
You did, though I would have liked a bit more fat on its thighs.
He was the slowest one of them. I barely had to run to catch him. You caught our dinner? I blurt out. Mabel grins at me. Barry let me bring one home this week for helping out on the farm. Is that the farm down the road? I think I saw it when I went for a run today.
The Whittemores, Agnes confirms. It's pretty famous. No one's been as successful at farming around here as Barry and Dora. They grew over 50,000 pounds of vegetables last year. And who knows how many eggs in that underground chicken coop of theirs. We fly their produce to a lot of the villages.
I was surprised to see it, I admit. My mom's big into growing things, and she wasn't ever able to do it.
The season's longer and warmer now than it was 24 years ago. But still, it's a lot of work to grow anything around here. Like the Whittemores do anyway,
Agnes murmurs.
Barry's out there thawing and tilling and prepping the soil for 2 years before he can plant anything in the ground.
Yeah, he puts up these huge tunnels so we can start seeding things in February. There's no wind or snow, and it's way warmer in there. Agnes chuckles.
That's where I find her most days after school in the winter. That or in their root cellar.
Oh, that's right, Mabel exclaims, as if she's just remembered something important. Barry said he saw you this morning. You were in bright pink, tearing down the road. At least he didn't say I was naked. That was me, getting eaten alive by mosquitoes, I add, giving my arm a scratch where an itch suddenly springs. Mabel's sweet face scrunches up. The mosquitoes and no-see-ums will get you good.
The no-see-ums?
Yeah, they're bad this year. Make sure you wear jeans and a hoodie when you go out and you'll be fine.
I'll be sure to do that. When my hoodie gets here from Anchorage, that is.
How was it at the farm today anyway?
Agnes asks. Same old. Kind of boring.
Remember how lucky you are. There are plenty of people around here who'd collect eggs and vegetables in exchange for fresh produce and the occasional chicken.
I'll bet they'd rather do it for cash, Mabel mutters.
When you're older, I'm sure he'll pay you with real money. Unless you keep showing up whenever you feel like it. In that case, he might not hire you at all.
Agnes scolds in that gentle way of hers. How old is Mabel exactly that this farmer doesn't feel comfortable paying her in cash? Mabel waves her mother's worries off with an annoyed frown. Barry doesn't care what time I come in. And besides, the hens lay twice as many eggs when I'm around. I'm his chicken whisperer. She gives me a toothy grin and then stretches to her tiptoes to pull out a bag of chips from the cupboard. Agnes promptly plucks the bag from her grasp and tosses it back into the cupboard.
We're eating dinner soon, chicken whisperer. Go on and get washed up.
With a groan, Mabel retreats down the hall, leaving me staring after her. She does have a lot of energy.
It's something, trying to keep her busy enough to burn it all off, especially during the summer break. I'm so thankful to Barry for giving her something to do.
Agnes pauses and then says more quietly,
She doesn't know about Ren yet. I'm going to tell her soon. He asked me to wait.
He also asked her not to tell me or Jonah, but she didn't stick to that request, I note. Two more sets of boots clomp up the 6 wooden steps of the porch then. These ones heavier and moving more slowly. I peer over and find unreadable glacier blue eyes watching me intently from the other side of the window. I can't help but glare back at him, even as my chest tightens with anxiety. A single knock sounds, followed immediately by the creak of the door opening.
Doesn't smell like muck-tuck,
my dad says, bending over to unlace his boots. His voice instantly stirs something familiar inside me.
Thought we'd ease Calla into Alaska before I start feeding her whale blubber.
I struggle to keep the disgust off my face, earning Agnes's chuckle.
Did she catch a fat one this time?
Fat and slow, apparently. Not as slow as you two, though. I was beginning to think you weren't coming.
Agnes smiles even as she softly reprimands him for being late.
You know how it is.
He saunters in farther to study the platter of chicken, my eyes on him the whole time as my hand moves mechanically, crushing the white potato flesh as I'm absorbed in a surreal fog. I'm actually here, in Alaska, with my father. I'm a spectator, watching his daily life as it happens, surrounded by his people, inhaling the faint waft of cigarette smoke that trails him.
Mabel home yet?
He asks.
Washing up. She'll be out in a minute.
A bit lower, but loud enough for me to catch.
As soon as she hears Jonah's voice.
My dad groans.
I'll be happy when that crush wears off.
Mabel has a crush on Jonah? My eyebrows pop up in surprise as I peer over my shoulder, just as the supposed object of her affection comes into view, having removed his outer clothes and hat. I'll admit, he's far from bad-looking, even with all the hair. If only I could take a pair of scissors to him. My fingers twitch just thinking about it. And then Jonah's words from earlier ring in my ear, his claim that I've been picking everyone apart since I got here, and guilt has me turning away from mentally grooming him. I find my dad's gentle gray eyes watching me keenly.
So, how was your day, Calla?
Simon's words echo inside my head. Is he running, or are you chasing him away? You can't control him, but you can control how you act toward him. It was good. Aside from the tongue-lashing from his right-hand man over there, I press into the potatoes. Quiet. He nods slowly.
I suppose it's a lot different from what you're used to.
Yeah, a little bit. I smile my agreement. How many days will I be able to survive out here before I long to be back in my city? Or any city, for that matter.
Did the truck give you any problems? Getting into second gear has been a bit sticky lately.
I glance at Agnes questioningly to see the subtle headshake. I guess she didn't tell him that I can't drive. And obviously neither has Jonah. Should I? Things are already uncomfortable between us. I don't need to make them more so by pointing out all the things he doesn't know about me right out of the gate. Nope. No problems.
Good. Good.
His head bobs slowly. An awkward moment stretches.
Did Kella's suitcases come in? Agnes asks.
Right. About that.
Dad scratches his graying hair, hesitating.
They couldn't make room for them on today's flight.
You're kidding me. My disappointment swells. But I need my clothes. My rain boots.
We can do another load of laundry tonight,
Agnes offers. Yeah, I guess, I mutter, but that's not the point. How could they all of a sudden not have room?
There were some last-minute supplies that needed to get to one of the villages today. It's just the way things go around here.
My dad gives me a sympathetic look.
Food, medicine, you know, real necessities,
Jonah adds, his tone laced with amusement.
We'll get your things in tomorrow,
Agnes smiles with assurance. Even as she adds,
probably.
Don't worry, I'm sure Billy's taking really good care of it all.
I grit my teeth and return my focus to the potatoes while I take a calming breath and work my frustration out, because there's nothing I can do about the luggage, and bludgeoning Jonah to death with this potato masher would put a damper on dinner.
Hey, Aggie, I grabbed these for tonight.
Wow, first flowers from Calla, now this?
A familiar clanking sound against the counter has me turning in time to see Jonah set a six-pack of Budweiser cans down. My jaw drops. I abandon the potatoes, which are basically pulverized, to face him. You said I couldn't buy beer in Bangor. My voice is thick with accusation. You said it was a dry community.
You can't,
he says simply, pulling two cans off the rings and tossing one to my dad, who smoothly catches it. I glare at his smug face. Another one of his fucking games. He probably hatched it from the grocery store aisle as he was lying right to my face.
Bangor's technically a damp community now because they passed a law that allows the sale of it,
my dad says,
A snap and sizzle sounds as he pulls the tab on his can to crack the seal.
But the town hasn't been willing to issue any licenses yet, because they're so worried about the villages. So you either have to fly or go to one of the bootleggers, which I don't recommend you doing, Calla. Some of the stuff they have will make you go blind.
He shifts his gaze between Jonah and me, his brow furrowing a touch.
Let me know what you want, and we'll get it in for you next time someone's in the city.
Thank you. I breathe through my irritation. And I promise I'll bring something better to dinner than cat piss. I nod toward the red and white cans with disdain, aiming that slight at Jonah. Jonah snorts.
Your dad happens to love cat piss, but I guess you wouldn't know that, would you?
We square off against each other, my jaw clenched tight as I search for a retort. Yes, Jonah knows my dad better than I do, and he uses that as a weapon, jabbing whenever he sees an opportunity. Our tense showdown is broken up by laughter. My dad and Agnes doubled over, tears streaming down Agnes's plump cheeks. I steal a wary glance at Jonah. He looks as confused as I am.
I think you need to expand your palate, Wren,
Agnes says, transferring a large hunk of succulent white breast meat onto the platter. My dad takes a sip and then makes a point of smacking his lips.
I don't even like cats.
Jonah hangs his head for a long moment, and then his shoulders begin to shake, and a genuine, deep-in-the-gut sound that reverberates in my chest fills the room. What do you know? Satan is capable of laughter, I mutter, but my own smile is emerging, the tension in the kitchen dwindling quickly. My dad shakes his head, still chuckling.
Exactly how hard a time have you been giving my daughter, Jonah?
My daughter. Such foreign words, and yet the simple acknowledgement makes me blush. It quickly evaporates as Jonah's heavy arm lands on my shoulder and he pulls me into his side. He's a brick wall compared to Corey's lanky frame.
Me? Give this patient, delightful, down-to-earth girl a hard time?
I try to wriggle free, but Jonah only tightens his vice-like grip, pulling me in closer until I'm practically molded to his torso and hip, my cheek pressed against his chest. The faint, woodsy-scented soap on his skin is gone after a day of work, but he still smells indescribably pleasant. The last thing I want to be doing is smelling Jonah.
We couldn't be getting along better if we tried. Peas and carrots, Wren. Fucking peas and carrots.
I use my hands for leverage, digging fingers into his ribs, hunting for a sensitive divide. I find nothing but a thick layer of muscle and hard ridges, so I do the only thing I can think of, search the hard plane of his chest with my fingers until I find what I think is a nipple, and squeeze, then twist. He releases me with a grunt of pain.
More like vinegar and milk, I'd say,
Agnes says, still thoroughly amused. Soft footfalls pad down the hallway. What's going on out here? What's so funny? Mabel saunters into the kitchen, changed into black leggings and a plain but fitted white t-shirt that shows off narrow hips and the small buds of breasts. Long, poker-straight hair hangs halfway down her back, recently brushed. Her innocent eyes flitter quickly at our faces before settling on Jonah's to linger. And I instantly see the truth behind Agnes's claim. Mabel has a serious crush on Jonah. Oh, God. Why?
Hey, kiddo.
My dad ropes an arm around Mabel's shoulders and pulls her to him.
How was the farm today?
My stomach clenches. That's my nickname. He used to call me that. Fine. Kind of boring. Why can't I hang out at Wild? Mabel fakes a pout. He chuckles.
Because that's got to be even more boring. What 12-year-old wants to spend their entire summer sitting in an airport?
She's only 12. She acts so much older. Granted, I haven't hung around with any 12-year-olds since I was 12. Mabel rolls her eyes. 12 years plus almost 1 month, and I wouldn't be sitting if you'd teach me how to fly.
Oh, here we go, Agnes murmurs.
What? He said he would.
When you're 14, Agnes reminds her.
Yeah, and that's only 1 year and 11 months away. Don't forget. Mabel pokes her finger into my dad's stomach, and his body buckles slightly.
How could I forget?
He ruffles her hair.
You've only been reminding me every week since you were six.
A distinct wave of jealousy bowls into me. My dad and I used to talk about how he'd teach me to fly a plane one day, so many years ago, back before I realized that I prefer my feet on the ground. And here he is now, his arm around Mabel, promising her the very same things he used to promise me, acting every bit the father I imagined he could be for me. An uncomfortable suspicion begins to bloom in the back of my conscience. Agnes and my dad have what she calls a complicated relationship. She says they've known each other for almost 16 years, and just by the look of Mabel, I'd bet money that her father is not Yupik, or any other type of Alaska native. Blood rushes to my ears. 12 years plus almost a month. That would mean her birthday is at the end of June. My dad was supposed to fly to Toronto for my 8th grade graduation 12 years ago, this past June. Is that merely a coincidence, or is Mabel a defining part of Agnes's cryptic, "it's complicated" comment? Do I have a half-sister that no one has told me about? Back when Simon and my mom married, I desperately wanted a sibling, and when I hit high school, I remember wishing my mom would get pregnant accidentally so she'd be occupied with someone else and stop breathing down my neck. But to have had a little sister all these years and not even know about her existence? That's not something I was prepared to find out when I boarded the plane here. Is Mabel the reason my dad canceled on me? Did it not have anything to do with Alaska Wild after all? Is she the reason he ditched me? Did he choose her over me?
Calla?
My dad peers at me.
Are you okay? You're looking a little bit pale.
Yeah. I clear my wobbly throat. I mean, no, actually. I'm not feeling well. The last thing I can do now is smile and pretend everything is fine. I need to gather my thoughts. Agnes and my dad share a worried look.
Why don't you lie down?
Agnes says.
My room is to the left.
No. I think I should go home. Across the road. And then, if I'm right about this, get on a plane back to Toronto. I sense Jonah's gaze boring into me as I sweep past him, shoving my feet into my muddy sneakers, stumbling as I hurry out the door.
Calla!
I turn back to see Jonah charging down the driveway toward me, his boots unlaced and splayed open. He is the last person I want to deal with right now. I rush on, tripping through a pothole, my eyes stinging from threatening tears as a foggy truth swirls around me. Jonah's faster than I expected him to be, and he catches my arm as I'm climbing the steps to get inside my dad's house. His tight grip keeps me from escaping.
What was that all about back there?
I'm not feeling well.
Bullshit. You were feeling fine, and then Ren put his arm around Mabel, and you freaked out. Don't tell me you're jealous of a 12-year-old kid.
Agnes was right. Jonah is too aware. And I guess that's what it would look like to anyone on the outside. I take a deep breath and then turn around. The second porch step puts me at eye level with him, and I find myself peering into an unreadable, cold blue sea. She's my half-sister, isn't she? My voice is shaky. Did they not think I'd figure it out? Did they honestly think it was okay to hide that from me? Mixed in with my shock and hurt is a growing anger. Jonah opens his mouth to speak, but pauses, frowning in thought.
What have they told you about Mabel?
You mean that girl in there that I'd never even heard of until 10 minutes ago? His question feels like the confirmation I needed. A single tear trickles down my cheek, and I quickly brush it away with my free hand. I hate that I cry so easily when I'm upset.
Ren never told you about her?
How much does Jonah know about our estranged relationship? Not a word. Not since he bailed on being my father. But not hers, apparently. Another tear slips out. I don't bother brushing it away this time. I've had 12 years to come to terms with the idea that he cared more about his planes and Alaska than about me. I let out a derisive snort, and now I find out it's actually because he had another kid. Jonah releases his grip of my arm.
God damn it, Ren,
he mutters, along with something else I don't catch, but there's definitely a string of curse words mixed in. I move to climb the rest of the steps, to duck inside so I can be alone with my thoughts.
Mabel's father worked for Ren. He was a pilot for Wild,
Jonah calls out, stalling my feet. Wait, so my dad's not her father?
No, he's not,
Jonah says slowly and clearly. My shoulders sink with an odd sense of relief. So where is Mabel's father now, then?
He died in a plane crash a few months before Mabel was born.
Oh, that's shitty. Jonah pauses a beat, seemingly in thought.
Why'd you come to Alaska, Calla?
I frown. What do you mean? So I could get to know my father before, you know, just in case. I shouldn't have to spell it out further.
Maybe you should get to know Ren just because, and stop looking for reasons to keep hating him.
I don't hate him, and I'm not looking for anything. It's... You don't understand. He sighs heavily.
It's none of my business what happened between you two. You've got to sort your own drama out. But I do know what it's like to decide you want to try to forgive someone, only to realize you waited too long.
His gaze flickers to the ground before settling back on my face.
Trust me, you don't want that hanging over your head.
Even through that scruffy beard, I can somehow sense the tension in his jaw. Is he talking about his father? What happened between them? I hold that steely stare of his for 1, 2, 3 long seconds. He's the first to break away, his eyes drifting to Agnes's house, to where my dad leans against the rail, his hand lifting to his mouth for a moment before pulling away. He's smoking. Stomach-churning embarrassment washes over me. I got jealous for no good reason and stormed out, basically ruining dinner and making things exponentially more awkward than they already were. So much for not letting my resentment get the better of me. So much for controlling my own actions.
You know, you're definitely Ren's daughter,
Jonah mutters. Why do you say that? I ask warily. Do I want to hear this answer?
Because neither of you have the guts to speak your mind when it matters most.
I watch him stroll away, gravel crunching under his boots. Chapter 10. I'm scratching feverishly against a mosquito bite on the back of my calf when the patio door from the living room slides open. My dad pokes his head out.
There you are.
His gaze drifts over the patchwork quilt I dragged from my bedroom and cocooned myself in, a ward against the evening chill as I sit curled up in the wobbly aluminum chair.
Hungry?
A little, I admit sheepishly, feeling my cheeks flush all over again from my embarrassment at the scene I caused. He appears with two dinner plates balanced in one hand.
Agnes fixed this for you. Said you don't eat mashed potatoes, so she gave you extra of everything else.
He sets a plate down on the worn coffee table in front of me. It's loaded with a heap of white and dark meat, more than I can possibly eat, and, funny enough, peas and carrots. He nods to the chair beside me, the orange and red woven strips torn in several places, looking ready to give way with the slightest weight on it.
You mind if I join you?
No, of course not. Go ahead. He sinks into it with a groan, setting his own plate on the stack of plastic bins piled next to him.
Agnes makes a mean roasted chicken. I've never met anyone who doesn't go back for seconds.
I reach for my plate. I'll bring these back to her when we're done so I can apologize for earlier. He opens his mouth to say something, but then seems to change his mind, and instead slides a can of beer from his vest pocket.
Thirsty?
Normally, I'd decline, but something inside urges me to accept it. He pulls a second out of his other pocket. The sound of the can cracking open cuts into the silence of the calm evening.
I watch him for a moment as he sips his beer, his thoughts lost in the acres of fields beyond us. Do I bring up that fiasco from earlier? Do I wait for him to bring it up? What if he doesn't bring it up? Maybe I should avoid the entire topic of Mabel and keep the mood light, not make things more awkward. I'm sorry, I blurt out, before I can think too much more about it.
It's okay, Calla,
he murmurs, holding a hand up.
Jonah explained where your head went.
He chuckles softly.
Right after he told me what he thought about me and how I've handled myself with you. Man, that guy doesn't hold back any punches. He can make you feel this small.
He holds up two fingers, an inch of air in between to emphasize his point. Yeah, I've noticed, I mutter, frowning. Jonah said he wasn't getting involved with our drama.
He's right, though. I owe you an explanation, even if it can't fix anything. Even if it's 12 years too late.
Dad's eyes settle on a pile of old worn shoes, cast haphazardly into a corner, and sits there for so long that I wonder if I'm going to get one.
The January before I was supposed to come to Toronto to see you, one of my pilots, Derek, was flying through the Alaska Range when the cloud level came down fast. We think he got confused and took a wrong turn. Flew right into the mountainside.
Was that Mabel's father? He nods.
It was supposed to be my run, but I was buried in problems here. A fuel shortage, 2 grounded planes, a bunch of paperwork that I couldn't ignore. You know, taxes, that sort of stuff. So I asked Derek to come in on his day off and do the run for me.
Understanding hits me. You would have crashed that day. My father would have died that day.
I don't know if I would have. Derek had only been flying maybe 5 years by that point, and not a lot of time in those mountains. Me? I couldn't even guess how many times I've done that route. I know my way through there. I would never have made that mistake.
He takes a long sip of his beer.
I should never have sent him.
I search for words, but I don't know what to say. That must have been hard to deal with.
It was. For everyone at Wild, but especially Agnes. Mabel was due that coming August, but there were complications and she ended up born in June, a few days before I was flying to Toronto to see you. She had a heart defect that needed surgery right away. They rushed them both to Anchorage by medevac and I flew myself over.
He sighs heavily.
After what happened to Derek, I couldn't leave Agnes to deal with that on her own. Not if Mabel didn't survive. That's why I canceled my trip to see you.
I replay the bits and pieces of that devastating phone conversation from 12 years ago in my head, the call that severed any relationship with my father. All these years, I thought he bailed on me for something as seemingly trivial as his job. Why didn't you tell me that? I would have understood.
You were 14, Calla. You'd been begging me to visit for years. I'd been disappointing you for just as many. I figured the reason didn't matter, especially not when it involved someone else's little girl. I didn't know how to explain that to you. It was easier to blame it on Wild. At least you were used to that excuse.
His words give me pause. I was 14, and I was desperate to see him, to know that I mattered to him. No matter how solid his reasoning, would I have understood back then? Do I even truly understand now? Did you tell my mother all this? God, if she knew about this and didn't tell me. My dad shakes his head.
Your mother was... Things were complicated between us. They've always been complicated between us.
Complicated. That seems to be the buzzword when it comes to my dad. Because she was still in love with you? I ask quietly. An awkward laugh escapes his lips. He gives the back of his shaggy-haired head a scratch, his gray eyes drifting to mine to linger for a moment, searching for something. What, I don't know, before returning to the pile of shoes.
What do you know about that?
Just what Simon told me, that he thought she was still in love with you and would leave him if there was a hope of you guys getting back together. I hesitate. Was he right? He rubs at his furrowed brow.
Look. I don't want to be the cause of any rifts between you and your mom.
How would you cause a rift between us? I ask warily. He seems to struggle to gather his thoughts.
Your mother and I were never going to fit. I knew that the moment I met